So that was One Direction and What Makes You Beautiful. And talking of beautiful, here's James Cameron from Oliver & Co. That was a good introduction, wasn't it?
How you doing, Gavin? Nice to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you as well. Thank you for coming by. It's our Legal Hour with Oliver & Co. And we're talking about asbestos-related diseases and the casework that you have in that regard. But it's not all doom and gloom, actually. We're going to come on to some really, really positive news shortly. Let's just start. I know you've been in before. Was it what, January time, February?
January time, beginning of the year. Third time here, yeah.
Yeah. Let's just recap, you know, who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm a solicitor. I specialise in asbestos disease litigation, and I work for Oliver & Co Solicitors on Foregate Street in the centre of town. I've worked for the company for 13 years now, and we represent people who have been affected by asbestos-related illnesses and also their families who have lost loved ones to these terrible conditions, whether it be pleural thickening, asbestosis, lung cancer, or particularly nasty malignant condition known as mesothelioma, which sadly I know a number of my clients have had the misfortune to develop.
Mm. Now, those diseases are, by and large, incurable, aren't they?
They are. Currently, there's no known cure for any asbestos-related condition, and the treatments have been fairly limited. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, how things are changing, hopefully for the benefit of people who suffer with these conditions. But that's right, there is no known cure. And whilst they are rare, they're affecting more and more people. I mean, it's thought that around 2,000 people in this country will be affected by mesothelioma every year.
So this, in many cases, will date back decades.
It will.
It could be the 70s when they were exposed to asbestos.
Very much so. I mean, the average, they call it a latency period. It basically means the time between the exposure and the time of onset of symptoms connected to a condition. The average latency period is around about 30 to 40 years. Can be as short as 10 years, if you're that unlucky. But, yeah, it only takes one fibre to be breathed into the lungs to develop asbestos-related mesothelioma. So whilst it is rare, you don't need to be exposed to very much asbestos to suffer that sort of misfortune.
And of course, go back to the 70s, that sort of time, there was asbestos in buildings. You know, I think I might have mentioned before, I'm sure that the roof on the bike shed where I went to school was corrugated asbestos.
It will have been. The whole school will probably have been lined with asbestos, and it's thought that around 80% of schools to this day still contain asbestos.
A lot of it's boxed in now, though, isn't it?
It's boxed in, and there's a lot of debate at the moment as to whether the asbestos should be removed or whether it should remain in situ. And I think the key is just to keep it in good condition and to monitor it regularly. I mean, there are schools in the local area that I know of who've spent hundreds of thousands of pounds removing the asbestos from the school. Whether that's a good or a bad thing, I'm not too sure.
Because then you disturb it, don't you?
You may be creating a greater danger, but I can see why they've done it. I mean, it's you wouldn't want to be exposing young people to this terrible material.
No, and as you say, you know, you could be sort of incubating this disease for half your life before you become aware that you're suffering.
The issue there is that the younger you are, the greater the chance there is that you could develop it during your lifetime, because if you were exposed when you were, say, in your 60s, for example, the chance of you developing an asbestos-related condition in later life would be very slim. But the younger you are...
I see, because obviously you've got longer to live. Chances are the younger you are.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, look, we're going to come on in a minute, and we're going to talk about the relationship that you have, Oliver & Co, with Macmillan Cancer Support. And we spoke quite a bit about mesothelioma and the other sadly incurable asbestos-related cancers a few minutes ago. You seek, obviously, compensation for people who have contracted such illnesses, and there's some actually really positive news coming out, which we'll talk about shortly, that this compensation can cover. First of all, let's just talk a little bit about Macmillan Cancer Support. I alluded to your sort of link up with Macmillan a few minutes ago, and you know, between you and them, you've raised quite a lot of money over the years.
We have. We've been working with them now for around about 10 years, and over that time, we've managed to raise a significant sum of money for Macmillan. They offer a fantastic new service for our clients who suffer with these terrible conditions. They provide assistance in applying for benefits, as we do likewise, but you know, caring for people with these conditions can be very taxing, and you know, they're often at hand, you know, to assist, you know, people who are also helping our clients from an NHS perspective as well. But yeah, we've held charity events, coffee mornings. But one of the things that I like to do personally is to, you know, sort things out with my band and put a few gigs on and raise some money for Macmillan. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But yeah, it's a good relationship that, we've got with them, really. And long may it continue.
And yeah, I mean, they do so much for cancer sufferers and their families generally, don't they?
They do. I mean, I think last year they raised over £230 million for cancer sufferers and their family, which takes some doing.
Grief, I mean, it really does.
I mean, there's some fantastic marketing ideas that they have, and you know, the coffee morning is, you know, a classic example
every
of
September,
it. And everybody does it, don't they? And what a fantastic way to raise a massive sum of money for a fantastic cause.
In fact, that will be coming up later this month, won't it?
It will be. We've got all that planned. We've got all that planned, and then of course the gig on the 1st of November, which we'll be speaking about later.
We will. First of all, let's talk about this positive news. So you seek compensation for people who are suffering from these awful diseases, but there is some hope now.
Definitely. I mean, it's not just about the money side of things. And when we're pursuing these cases, obviously people claim compensation for their pain and suffering, for care and assistance, aids and equipment, travel and expenses. But one of the key things that we're now claiming compensation for, and it's showing a real light at the end of the tunnel, is private immunotherapy treatment. So whereas in days gone by, somebody with mesothelioma may only be offered chemotherapy or surgery or a combination of the two, with very poor prognosis, the immunotherapy is much more targeted. It focuses on the mesothelioma cells and kills them off, whereas, of course, chemotherapy is a lot more toxic and it can kill different types of cells and create its own problems and cause its own side effects. Immunotherapy is looking like it may eventually lead to a cure for this terrible condition. We have clients now we're representing who have undergone four cycles of this treatment, and their tumour has shrunk significantly. They then undergo a further four cycles, and it's shrunk even further. So the signs are looking very positive. The only way people would be entitled to this, though, is if we were able to, you know, cover the future private treatment costs by succeeding in legal claims. Because unfortunately, at present, this type of immunotherapy treatment is not available on the NHS.
It costs about £100,000 a year.
It does, and people usually receive cycles every 3 weeks, and it continues for as long as they're able to tolerate the treatment. Usually can tolerate it pretty well, certainly compared to chemotherapy.
And it makes a real difference, but £100,000 a year is unaffordable for nearly everybody unless you've sought this compensation.
Well, that's exactly the point. So you know, it's not just about holding a defendant or an employee, you know, to account. It's also about securing as much money as possible on the main claim, but leaving the door open for these payments to continue for as long as that person can receive this potentially groundbreaking treatment.
So this is definitely progress in the fight against mesothelioma and cancer, you know, caused by exposure to asbestos. And, you know, hopefully down the line, a cure will be found, but we're heading in the right direction.
Fingers crossed. I mean, there are a number of trials out there now that people can be admitted onto where they don't have to pay for immunotherapy drugs. The problem with those is that there are a lot of them that are randomised. So you only stand a 50% prospect of receiving the drug.
Right.
Of course, the other 50% receive the placebo. And you wouldn't be too keen on receiving that, you know, if you'd been diagnosed with this condition. So hopefully one day a cure will be found.
Okay. And in the meantime, you know, anybody in this situation or anybody who has a family member in this situation, if they haven't done, they need to seek legal advice immediately, because there could be very expensive treatments out there that compensation you could be entitled to would pay for.
Well, that's right. I mean, you definitely need specialist advice in this area. It's not something an average high street firm could deal with. There are a number of specialist firms out there. We're one of them. I mean, I've been specialising in this area now continuously for 13 years. I've settled hundreds of cases over that time. And, you know, you need to know what you're talking about in this area of law. There are so many pitfalls. And we receive plenty of cases from other firms, you know, where they haven't done their job properly. We have to pick it up and try and resurrect the case.
Okay, well, James is your man, and we'll come back and we'll talk about music next, which is sort of related to what we're talking about, and an up-and-coming gig that you've got with your band. James Cameron is here from Oliver & Co, and we've been talking about your work as a solicitor securing compensation for people diagnosed with incurable asbestos-related cancers and diseases, which is being spent increasingly on this new treatment that you mentioned, this new immunotherapy treatment, not available on the NHS, available only privately at the moment. But again, you know, compensation presumably can be increased to cover that treatment as it's now become available from what it would have been, say, 5 years ago.
That's right. I mean, it's a basically indefinite right to, you know, to return and carry on claiming this compensation for as long as the treating oncologist recommends the treatment. And, of course, the longer somebody reacts well to the treatment, responds well to it, the more chance there is that a new groundbreaking treatment may come onto the market, which could have even, you know, more positive effects for somebody suffering with the condition. So it's almost a snowball effect. Once they find something that works, they might just tweak it slightly, find a different slight different derivative maybe of the drug, and then it can be prescribed for somebody's further benefit.
Yeah, and, you know, medical advances can progress quite quickly, can't they?
That's right. I mean, if I compare, you know, what's happening now in my cases to how it was even sort of 2 years ago, it's like chalk and cheese, really.
And you keep people's claims open, I gather, for a bit longer perhaps than you might do previously, because you know you've got expensive treatment that prolongs people's lives, therefore they'll need that treatment for longer, so you don't want to sort of close off too early, do you?
Well, that's right. I mean, there's people out there that are thankfully now living much longer with the condition. I mean, there's one person I can think of, Paul Kramer, who's lived with this condition for 20 years. And there are other so-called meso warriors out there that, you know, that have started to receive these groundbreaking treatments.
And it's the quality of life it gives them as well.
Very much so, because you don't have, you know, the added accompanying side effects that go with chemotherapy treatment and invasive surgery. You know, can result in people staying in hospital for, you know, many weeks, if not months, you know, and that's ruined the rest of the time that they may have left.
Now, Oliver & Co. teamed up with Macmillan Cancer Support a decade ago to help raise money for, you know, all the excellent work the charity does, and you've raised over £37,000 so far, and some of it has come by you standing on stage.
That's right.
What do you do up there, James?
Well, I play guitar and sing, but three of us sing in the band. We've got Pete on keyboard, who's absolutely amazing. He's a bit of a Mozart when it comes to pop and rock and roll and indie music, to be honest. You can hear a song and just play it automatically. It makes you sick, to be honest.
It's a talent, isn't it?
You need to be seen to be believed, really. But singing in the same key as Freddie Mercury and Michael Jackson's No Mean Feat either.
Great.
But we've got Dawn on the bass. She's got two twin boys now, so we don't play very often. But, you know, when we do play, it's enjoyable. And Ed on the drums, Ed Evers Swindell, he does his own films. That's what he does in his spare time.
Why does everybody always mention the drummer last?
I know, yeah.
Come on, mention the drummer first.
He says that every time.
I'm sticking up for the drummer here.
That's it, yeah.
So you're called Eskimo Spies.
That's right.
You played the church Saturday just gone. Was it Saturday or Friday just gone?
Last Friday.
First time
I played a Friday, actually, so we didn't really know what to expect, but it was really good in there. I mean, so grateful that we've got music venues like that still in Chester. Mm. I mean, few and far between, aren't they? But it's good that places do make an effort to put live music on, you know, and it gives people a bit of a platform, really.
You have one of their cocktails while you were in there.
I didn't. I was
well
drive.
Resisted. I don't know how you managed it.
I always drive to gigs. Right. I'm a good boy.
You are. You've got a gig coming up on the 1st of November at the Corner House. That's the one.
That's right, yeah.
That's your next one, is it?
That's right, on the 1st November, Friday night after payday, so no excuses when it comes to paying the £10 entrance fee. We will be playing for a record length of time, sort of vocal cords permitting. Last year we played for 2¾ hours. I think we played something like 37 songs that night. So
without a break?
We were a bit hoarse that night, but it was worth it. We raised over 2,000, so we're going to try and get to 3,000 this year if we can, keep trying to improve. But it's really nice for the Corner House, you know, to allow us to use the venue free of charge. It allows us to, you know, generate more funds than for the charity. We'll have a raffle on the night with excellent prizes, but I think you'll find if you come for the £10, you'll have a good night on that.
Sounds fab. So it's a date for the diary, Friday, 1st of November, Corner House. See Eskimo Spies doing their thing with Ed, Pete, Dawn and you.
Ed first.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll love that.
Give us an example of a couple of the songs that were on your set list.
We played a new one recently. Well, a new old one, I suppose, but it went down really well. Just out of the blue, we just learned Disco 2000 Pulp.
Oh, yeah.
That went down really well on last Friday. But we play Don't Stop Me Now, you know, Queen. I do a lot of Killers stuff. That's sort of my range, really, when I'm singing.
Right.
So we do Somebody Told Me, Human, we'll play Sex on Fire, Kings of Leon, we play. But mixture, really. I mean, we play some Erasure, which is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, Little Respect. I quite like Soft Cell as well.
Okay.
So like harking back to my 80s. So
quite eclectic then.
80s roots. Sailor Wave Goodbye we play. That's the track we play. That's one of my all-time favourites.
David Gray covered that.
We did on White Ladder, track number 10.
Yeah. Somebody's got the album. Okay, well, look, it's going to be a night of music we know, sung by some great people, raising money for Macmillan Cancer Support, What's Not to Love. Friday the 1st of November, Corner House on City Road. I'm going to do my level best to get there and enjoy myself.
Hope so.
And have a few pints. Give you a lift home. No, you give me a lift home.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be driving.
Perfect. James, thank you very much for coming in. Nice to see you guys.